I want you to get a revelation of this, the glorious power of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is very good for motivating missions and evangelism, because the gospel has to be preached to all nations, to all tribes, to all people before Jesus comes back. And when I think about the return of Christ and what an amazing event it's going to be, I'm also filled with awe and intrepidation and fear and trembling because of the lost people who are not ready. And so many people are not going to be ready for the return of Christ. And the Bible warns us that the nations are going to weep. It's going to be a horrific day when unbelievers have to see the reality of who Jesus is. Those who have mocked him. We live in a world that has sinned against Jesus Christ. But we as his people need this revelation of his power and glory that's going to be revealed, so that we will live wholeheartedly for him, and so that we will warn people, so that we will make sure every Christian is a true Christian, a strong Christian, and we will be ambassadors to prepare the world for the second coming of Christ. Jesus raised up John the Baptist to prepare the way for the first coming. In one sense, the whole nation of Israel prepared the world for the first coming of Christ. But specifically John the Baptist, he was a voice in the wilderness. He was a messenger sent from God to prepare the people. And he did it by calling them to repent. Turn away from your sins. And he presented the Lamb of God who would shed his blood. That was for the first coming of Christ. Now for the second coming of Christ, to prepare the world, that is the job of the church. If you're a Christian, that is a part of your job, to prepare this world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, if you've lost focus or you don't have a revelation of the second coming of Christ, what it truly is, then you will probably be weak in evangelism and missions work. So this revelation of the second coming of Christ, I hope it will put some fire in your heart to live for God, to be a witness for Christ, because you are to be a modern day John the Baptist. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this message. Thank you, Lord, that it's burning on my heart because, Lord, it's so powerful. Lord, when you come back, Lord, who's going to be ready and who's not going to be ready? So, Lord, even as I speak this message, I pray that everyone here, their spiritual eyes will be opened, that they will see in a greater way how powerful you are and how powerful it's going to be on this day. Lord Jesus, take these words and anoint them by the Holy Spirit so that this revelation may open our minds and fill our hearts, that our lives may be changed, that we will forever have a greater vision of your second coming in power and glory, and that, Lord God, we will be a part of the ambassadors for you to prepare the people. So, Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for every Christian here today. Let the word of God do its work in their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My Bible reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to encourage believers who were going through persecution. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. It is written, it says that God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire and with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. So we see a distinction of two groups of people, those who were ready and those who were not ready. Those who are ready are those who obey the gospel and they know God. They are the friends of God. It's going to be amazing when Jesus comes back and you're saved. You're going to be so thankful. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And I was thinking about all the marvelous events and miracles that have happened in the Bible. But these miracles throughout the Bible are nothing compared to the spectacular nature of the return of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we have miracles like God creating the whole universe just by speaking. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. How wonderful it would have been to have seen that miracle. There is Moses parting the Red Sea. He lifted up his staff and the ocean parted. How wonderful it would have been to have seen that mighty miracle. We have the miracle of Joshua when he prayed that the sun would stop, that it wouldn't move, because they needed extra time in their battle against the enemies. And the sun just stopped in answer to his prayers, and it was the longest day in history. That would have been another amazing miracle to see. Another amazing miracle would have been the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, burnt up the offering, the sacrifice that he had made. That would have been an amazing miracle to see. But then we have all the healings. We have the greater miracles of Jesus Christ, the greatest miracle worker of all, walking on water, multiplying food, raising the dead, healing every type of sickness and disease, driving out demons out of people. All of Jesus' miracles, they would have been wonderful to see with our eyes. I think one of the most wonderful miracles of Jesus to have seen would have been when he ascended up to heaven. He met with his disciples, his close disciples on the mountain. He blessed them. He gave his final words to them. He gave the great commission to them to go into all the world, preach the gospel. Then Jesus Christ began to rise. And he kept going up, 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 up. And he kept going up, up, up into the sky until the clouds hid him and he could no longer be seen by his disciples. And the Bible tells us that his disciples were just standing there looking. They were stunned. They were stunned at Jesus just rising up. That would have been incredible to see with your own eyes, that amazing miracle. But then two men that were obviously angels appeared, and they told them, "Why are you still looking up in the sky? Jesus, who was gone, he's going to come back." And Jesus spoke of it many times, of how he's preparing a place for his people and that he will come and take his people to be with him. So I'm thinking about these great miracles in the Bible that people saw with their own eyes. Well, some people saw them. But all these miracles are nothing compared to what's going to be seen when Jesus comes back. When Jesus returns, he's coming in all his power, all his glory. And this is what I now want to give you a revelation of. How glorious it's going to be. How spectacular, how majestic. Need to find the most beautiful words, which are beyond human language, to describe what it's actually going to look like when Jesus comes back. This glory that's going to be revealed of Jesus. The second coming of Christ is not like his first coming. The first coming, he came as a little baby to come, offer his life, to bring salvation. But the second coming of Christ, that's when he's coming as the mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming as the judge. He's coming as the savior of his people. But he's coming to destroy the kingdom of Satan. Satan's going to be thrown into the abyss. He's coming to destroy the wicked. He's coming as the judge. He's coming to bring justice. You know, many people don't understand the truth of God's justice, especially those who are living in sin. But there are 4 points I want to make from this passage that I read to you from 2 Thessalonians about the return of Christ. The first one is that Jesus will be revealed in blazing fire. When Jesus comes back, that's what Paul says, Jesus Christ will be revealed in blazing fire. We're going to look at what this means. Then secondly, Jesus will be revealed with his powerful angels. Third point is that Jesus will punish the wicked. And the fourth point, of course, is just the conclusion. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're living for Jesus. Make sure you're a true Christian. Okay, number one. Jesus will be revealed in blazing fire. Let's think about this. You know, God in the Bible has frequently revealed himself through fire. We have Moses in the burning bush. Moses saw this bush on fire, and it was a strange sight because it just kept burning and burning and burning and burning. So he went over there, and God spoke to him through that bush. We have the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they refused to worship the idol of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was so angry, he ordered their deaths by having them thrown into a furnace of fire. And when they were thrown in, instead of being burnt up, we see a fourth person walking through the fire. That person, Nebuchadnezzar said, looks like a son of God. And I believe it was Jesus Christ walking in the fire. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. God's in some strange way, just walked through the fire. And I suppose, you know, God even does. At times, people have seen visions of Jesus Christ walking through hell, weeping or grieved at the state of the lost. But, of course, he cannot save those who have rejected his blood covenant. But he has that passion and that burden to save people on this earth so they don't go to hell. And that Jesus gave a promise to his church that whoever overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. And the second death is the lake of fire. So my opinion is if you're a true Christian and if you overcome, even if you fell into hell, it would not hurt you. It would just be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking with Jesus in the fire. Okay, it's not going to happen. But hellfire has no torment for those who are truly saved. So if you're a true Christian, you don't have to fear going to hell. Now, if you're backslidden and you're lost in the world, then you need to wake up. You know, my young brother, his name's Philip, right from when he was about 5 or 6 years old, he was fearful that he was going to hell. Until he truly accepted Christ and had that full assurance of salvation. So even though he was born in a Christian family and my parents explained the Bible to him as best as they could, he still had something missing in his heart. He still felt lost until Jesus became really real to him. But what I want to say is, if you're a true Christian, hell cannot torment you. There are many other ways that God even judged people with fire. We see it throughout the Old Testament, especially in the time of Moses, as they were going through the wilderness. They were led by a pillar of fire by night. But we see at times when the people complained, God even judged his own people with fire. There was a time when the people were complaining against God and fire just broke out in the camp. This fire, the Bible actually says it came from the Lord. There was a time when there were 250 priests and they didn't do the offering properly. Fire came out from the Lord and destroyed them. You think, wow, what kind of God are we serving? Fire can come out of it and just destroy people. Okay, we're in the new covenants. We're in the time of God's grace and the time of God's mercy. But we have to realize the power of God. You know, many people, especially unbelievers or especially backsliders, you know, even thinking of someone on the internet who was messaging me. Obviously, he's had a Christian background, but he was kind of saying bad things against God. You know, who does God think he is to judge people kind of things? The reality is, God can judge you. And fire can come out of God and just burn you and consume you. You know, God is so great and so mighty and to be feared. We live in a culture that has become humanistic, that has virtually denied the justice of God and the judgments of God, doesn't want to know. Even many churches don't want to know about the anger of God, the wrath of God, but it's a truth, and the truth of the Bible will stand forever. The truth is, God will destroy the wicked, and they will be tormented with fire. They will be destroyed, and your choice is to follow the devil or follow God. The choice is to become bitter and angry and twisted and speak against God, or to know the truth that he's willing to save you, that he loves you, that he gave Jesus to die for you. So we have to have a complete right balance in the Bible, knowing the fullness of God's love for us, but also knowing the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, that God is a powerful judge. Fire can come out from him and just burn me up. That's amazing. It happens, and it will happen on the day of judgment with millions of lost people being thrown into the lake of fire. So the Bible says many things, actually, in the Old Testament, so many scriptures about God judging with fire. So when Jesus Christ comes back, we are told that he will be revealed in blazing fire. Think about how amazing that's going to be. Think about how powerful that's going to be. Let that go into your heart. Okay, the second point is that Jesus Christ will be revealed with his powerful angels. This is also beautiful and amazing. Jesus will be revealed with his powerful angels. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father, and of the holy angels." Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, Jesus said that when he comes in his glory, all the angels will be with him. When Jesus comes, all the angels will be with him. How many angels are there? The Bible doesn't give us the exact number, but there must be millions, billions, who knows if there's trillions. But the number of angels has to be huge. You know, the Bible does talk about these great multitudes of heavenly beings worshiping God. So the number of angels has got to be large. Okay, some interesting thing about angels. You know, when Adam and Eve first sinned, we see they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and then God placed a cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life so no one could eat it. Now, what are these cherubim? Okay, they're one type of heavenly creature, one type of living creature. We see the prophet Isaiah and Ezekiel and John in the book of Revelation. He had in his vision, in their visions, they saw these heavenly creatures. Some of them had six wings, some have four wings, some angels just have two wings. Some of these cherubim were covered in eyes. Some of them had four faces. You know, we live in a modern day of science fiction, but science fiction is actually in their imagination, is still in error compared to the reality of the greater creatures that God has in heaven. I think obviously a lot of stuff is demonically inspired. Demonic creatures are often portrayed in movies. But God has a whole vast array of things that we have not imagined in heaven. There's horses in heaven, horses of fire. Horses and chariots of fire. What do they look like? I don't know. Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse. But there was a time when the prophet Ezekiel, in the first chapter of Ezekiel, and it's a powerful encounter he had with God, seeing these cherubim with wheels and these glory and faces and all kinds of incredible things going on. And that's why it inspired him to be a prophet and to preach and to declare the truth to the people. And the Apostle John, he saw the similar thing in heaven. But in Revelation chapter 10, from verses 1 to 3, it talks about when John sees a mighty angel coming from heaven, robed in a cloud, with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, and his legs were like fiery pillars. This angel was holding a little scroll, which lay open at his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like a roar of a lion. Here is just one powerful angel. Brilliant face, rainbow shining above him. Who is that angel? I don't know. If that's just one powerful angel, when Jesus Christ returns, he's coming to be revealed with all his powerful angels. You know, many times in the Bible, when people saw an angel, the angel had to say to them, "Do not be afraid." Why did the angel have to say that? It's because they were trembling. And that was just a simple angel. The presence of the angel was so strong. So I'm thinking, you know, let it go into your heart. What is it going to be like when Jesus Christ returns with all his powerful angels? You know, how can people fight against God? It's foolishness, stupidity. But we have freedom, we have grace. This is the time of testing. This is the time of choice, whether we live for God or live against him, whether we are saved or not. People are being deceived because they don't have a vision of who God really is, of his power and of his glory. But it's revealed to us in his word. Jesus is coming, blazing fire. He's coming with his powerful angels. You know, in the Bible, we see many times that angels punished God's enemies. There was a time when King Herod, he stood before a great crowd of people in the book of Acts, and the people began to worship him. They began to praise him like a god. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23, that because this King Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. Now, here was a man being worshipped by people, but he didn't give the glory to the one who alone deserves the honor and glory. He took the glory for himself. He believed, "I am great. I am a great king." What happens? God had enough with him. One angel struck him down and he died. We have the illustration of Balaam, who was a true prophet but a backslidden one and a disobedient one. Thankfully, he had a good donkey. And by God's grace, God allowed the donkey to see the angel. Obviously, God allowed the donkey's spiritual eyes to be opened. You know, we can't see angels unless God opens our spiritual eyes. And God allowed a mere donkey to have spiritual revelation. And the donkey saw the angel holding a sword. And that donkey did not want to walk the path. He got a beating for it because Balaam was determined to go the wrong way. But God in his mercy spoke through the donkey to warn Balaam. So anyway, there's so many interesting stories of angels in the Bible, and they're actually very powerful. One angel wiped out the whole Assyrian army when King, I think it was Hezekiah, called upon God. God heard his prayer. He didn't have to go to war. God just sent one angel. And that army was huge. But one angel wiped it out. So, you know, God is in control of sovereignly over all things. Now, it does depend on people's attitudes, and especially the leaders, whether they call upon him, whether they seek him for his help. Because God can do great things to destroy evil when people call upon his name, because he sends angels. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent to help those who will inherit salvation. So there's probably been many times when you've prayed a simple prayer and you don't know what God has done with that prayer, but there would have been times when God would have sent angels in answer to your prayers. All of this we won't find out until we get to heaven, what really happens behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. But we have to know that God moves and works through his angels. People like Jacob, there was a time when he saw a vision of a stairway going up to heaven, and he saw the angels going up and down between heaven and earth. That stairway, who knows, there might be many of them. It represents Jesus, but it's also a reality of something that's going on all the time. Angels going from heaven to the earth and back and forward. The Bible talks about angels watching over children. You know, and I know so much evil and terrible things happen in this world, but angels do report that to God. Even though God has all knowledge, but he works, you know, through a kingdom that he's built and he's building and developing. You know, God has all wisdom and he's raising up a people that follow him, know him, and are a part of what he is doing. So when you have an understanding of God's plans and purposes, it's wonderful. Okay, third point is that Jesus Christ is coming to punish the wicked. This is the fearful part. You know, he's coming to punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we are told something of this punishment, that it's everlasting. It never ends. It's called destruction. It's called being shut out from the presence of the Lord. That's being separated from God's love. You know, there are different levels and different types of God's presence. God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. But there's also specific types of God's presence. Being shut out from his glory is the worst thing of all, because you're separated from your Creator. You're separated from the fulfillment of who you truly should belong to. You know, Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, but if he loses or forfeits his soul? So this is the importance of salvation. Most of Jesus' parables were talking about the separation of the righteous from the wicked. And often he spoke about how the angels will weed out of his kingdom those who cause sin and do evil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 49 to 15, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus repeatedly spoke about this weeping and gnashing of teeth. How I see the return of Jesus Christ is that, you know, nobody knows the day or the hour. Anyone who makes a prediction that Jesus is going to come back this year, you basically know that they're a false prophet. They have no idea. How can they possibly know when Jesus will return? They don't. A few years back, there was that Howard Camping guy. And throughout history, there's been multitudes and multitudes of false predictions. And it will happen again and again because people don't want to follow the Bible properly. They will make false predictions that Jesus is coming back. So don't follow any false prophet. And we're also warned, Jesus also warned us about people that said, look, here he is. Come and see him. I remember one time I saw in a newspaper, it was a big advertisement, it said, Jesus has come back. Write to us and we will send you a photo. I thought, that's wonderful. I want to see this photo of Jesus Christ coming back. So I wrote to them, they sent me a photo, and it was like a, he had dark skin, I'm not quite sure what nationality he was. He looked, I don't know if it was Pakistan or what it was, but it was a man like that in a shawl, and they were claiming this is the return of Jesus Christ? What a terrible false prophet. But see, if people knew the Bible, Jesus said that when he returns, it's going to be like lightning that is seen in the east and the west. Jesus said when he's coming back, he's going to be revealed in blazing fire and his powerful angels. If you know the true return of Christ, you will never follow a false claim that Jesus came back. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses claimed that Jesus came back in 1914. They had built a special mansion for him. How ridiculous. And you actually see that there's hundreds of false claims that Jesus has already come back. How ridiculous. The true hope of the Christian, because the resurrection will then take place of all Christians. That has not yet happened. There are all, you know, when you study the end times, you find all kinds of false preaching. There's also a false teaching that claims that Jesus came back in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. But it's because they're mixing up prophecy and not seeing the prophetic language. And they twist the book. Well, they take certain things that Jesus said, but because they don't have a full understanding of prophecy, they then make a false doctrine out of it. And I saw even some key churches were grabbing a hold of that false doctrine. No, there's going to be no doubt when Jesus Christ returns. When he returns, he's going to rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. The devil will be locked up in the abyss for that time. There will be 1,000 years of peace. At the end of that, Satan will be let out for a final testing of the nations, or the final testing of those people that live during that time of peace, whether they will truly belong to Christ or whether they will follow Satan. But when Jesus comes back, there's going to be nobody not knowing. Oh, is that Jesus? Oh, I'm not really sure. No, there will be no doubt. He's coming in all his glory. He's coming in the glory of the Father. How can so many Christians be deceived by false prophets? It must be because they don't know the true glory of Jesus and the true nature of the second coming of Christ. Jesus, that's why I'm giving you this message, so you know what the second coming of Christ is all about. He's coming to be revealed in blazing fire. He's coming with his powerful angels. He's coming to punish those who do not obey the gospel. And he's coming to save those who belong to him. My last point, Hebrews chapter 9. I'm just amazed at the glory of Jesus, how wonderful it's going to be when he comes back. You know, when you start talking about the glory of Jesus, the glory of God, that's another topic you could go into deeply. And then you get a revelation of that glory, and then you see Jesus Christ coming back in that glory, how amazing it is. But Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. Amen. Is that you? Are you waiting for Jesus Christ? Are you looking? I suppose Christians of all generations for the last 2,000 years, if they've been under good preaching, they've all been looking for the second coming of Christ. And that has to continue until Jesus Christ returns. Because when Jesus returns, no matter if it's today or if it's in 500 years' time, it makes no difference to me, because those who die in faith are instantly raised in faith at the second coming of Christ. So I know from a spirit point of view, our spirit can go to heaven. But from an earthly point of view, the moment you die on this earth, the next moment you awake on this earth is at the second coming of Christ. Because when Jesus returns, first of all, those who have died in the Lord are raised from the dead, and then together with whoever's alive on the earth at that time, they are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So really, the point when you die, you have to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Because the next moment, unless you're an unbeliever and you won't be a part of the first resurrection, but for us, the moment you die, the next moment you're on this earth will be when Jesus returns and you are raised from the dead. So that's why every Christian has to be ready for Christ coming today. So that's why I say, you know, we don't know when Jesus will return. So it doesn't make any difference to me if Jesus returns in 5,000 years' time. I will be ready for the return of Christ. And when Jesus returns, I will rise at the resurrection to be caught up in the Lord, with the Lord in the air. Our bodies are transformed into a body like his body, which is an eternal body. And those who share in Christ's suffering, they share in Christ's glory. You know, to be a Christian in this world, we do have to go through suffering for Christ. Jesus himself had to suffer. But that was for the purpose of preparing the way of salvation and for preparing a people that will dwell with him forever and for a people will share in his glory. Now, what is this glory? This glory, it says, everyone's going, this is believers, they're going to be amazed. It's going to be beyond anything we've ever seen. That's why at the beginning I talked about all these great miracles that have happened in the earth, but those miracles are nothing compared to seeing Christ when he comes again, coming in all his glory. That's why the most spectacular miracle is the second coming of Christ. It is the manifestation of his glory. It is when Jesus reveals to all of his creation who he truly is. You know, the Bible says that those even under the earth have to confess that Jesus is Lord. It seems to me that even those in hell are going to suddenly see the magnificent glory of Christ fill the earth, fill the heavens. Millions, billions, who knows how many angels, all of their power and glory. The Father, God the Father, we could go deeply into the revelation of the Father's glory, because that's the essence of Christ's glory. And that is so great and so beyond description. But Jesus is coming in the Father's glory, in his glory, in the angels' glory. And it's like the second coming of Christ is going to be when people truly know who Jesus is. And I think, how is it going to be for people like Muhammad, the founder of a false religion, when he has to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord? What's it going to be like for those who are not saved? So that's why understanding the extent or magnitude of the glory of Christ, that's what motivates me to live for Jesus, to share the gospel, to get ready, and to call you to make sure that you are a true Christian. Make sure that you are ready for the return of Christ. Make sure that you are saved. Make sure that you are not a part of the wicked who are going to be separated from the righteous. Make sure that you are a true believer. Have you received revelation of the second coming of Jesus Christ?